Catholic Answers Live. Hour number two is underway here. Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett today. Cy ought to be back tomorrow, I'm hearing anyway. You can catch me and Debbie Giorgiani noon Eastern time with a replay at midnight Eastern Monday through Friday on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on many of these EWTN affiliates. It's great to be behind the microphone here. I'm actually in studio at Catholic Answers and just marveling at the grace of God and the gifts of God to this great apostolate and recalling my time as the host from 1998 when we started the show to roughly about 2009. So always great to be back here, and the guests, the great guests and the topics and your participation on the phone just continue year after year. It's been over 21 years now, thanks be to God. And this hour, we invite your calls, your questions about heaven. Okay, it's a place we all want to get. God willing, we should want to get there. If you don't want to get there, then you need to call somebody else. We're going to pray for you. But we're going to talk about heaven, what heaven is like. Can we get a glimpse of it from eternity, from earth? Are we sort of living a foretaste of heaven now? We, of course, have the Eucharist. So that's, in many ways, a foretaste of heaven. Give us a call with your questions at 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. 318-7884. Liz Kelly is here. She is the author of several books, including the highly acclaimed book, Jesus Approaches, What Today's Woman Can Learn About Healing. She's also a professor of Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas. And today we're discussing her book, Heaven in You and You in Heaven, Unveiling Eternity on Earth. Liz, good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Again, 888-318-7884. If you have questions about the reality and nature of heaven, perhaps, again, one of your little boys or girls have come up and tugged on mommy or daddy's shirt sleeve and said, you know, tell me a little bit more about heaven, mommy or daddy. Or if you have difficulty, maybe you're kind of earthbound, sort of temporal in your thoughts and in your thinking and in your way of life, and you know, you just can't seem to see beyond the trials and challenges that earthly life presents to us. Maybe if you're looking for advice on not becoming too caught up in the things of earth so as to not lose sight of our ultimate destiny, 888-318-7884 is the number. Give us an overview of the book first, Liz, before we get started.
Well, the book... Initially, the publisher asked me, they wanted me to pull out scripture verses that talked about heaven and to write reflections on that. And the first reflection, or the first, verse that I stumbled upon was from Ecclesiastes, where he has says, he has written eternity on the hearts of men, though they can barely fathom it or they can barely understand it. And, I just didn't get beyond that one. I got kind of wrapped up in what does it mean that eternity is written across the heart? And so from there, the book became kind of an examination of, you know, if we believe that heaven is true, does that order my life? Is it evident the way that I walk around in the world that I believe in that reality? And am I looking for that reality in this world? And so there's a chapter on heaven as home, the importance of beauty and beauty, how beauty invites us to contemplate eternity. There's a chapter on the Mass. There's a chapter on the last things and so on and so forth. So I just sort of go through and take a look at some of those subjects and ways that we can remind ourselves to live constantly in the reality of eternity.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know a lot of ink has been spilled, and vocal cords have talked about heaven over the millennia, Liz. In your estimation, in your work, and in this book, if you could tell us, you know, what do you see heaven as being like? Can we glimpse eternity from here on earth?
Well, I think yes. I mean, Joseph Pieper and the theologians who study all of this tell us that heaven's imprint is everywhere. That is, everything that exists carries the imprint of paradise. And Von Balthasar talks about truth, beauty, and goodness directing us to beauty and how, or I'm sorry, directing us toward heaven and how these three things come as a package. They come as sisters. So beauty has something to teach us about heaven. The truth has something to teach us about heaven, and goodness has something to teach us about what heaven will be like. I mean, that's such a huge question.
Yeah, right.
You know, we could spend years trying to answer that one, but
sure. I want to mention Liz's website as well. It's LizK.org. Liz Kelly is our guest. She's the author of Heaven in You and You in Heaven, Unveiling Eternity on Earth. Hour two here of Catholic Answers Live. In for Cy Kellett, I am Jerry Usher, and do have a couple of open phone lines still available if you would like to get on board. We want to entertain your questions this hour about heaven, and perhaps you're somebody who maybe you're living not so much to go to heaven, but to avoid going to hell. So you want to know how can I really, really, really long for heaven, for what it is, the goodness that it is, the greatness, the glory of being with God, rather than just, you know, avoid being bad so that I don't go to hell. Maybe that's a struggle that you deal with, or maybe you're just wondering, how will heavenly life be different than our earthly lives? 888-318-7884. I imagine, Liz, you would say that we can practice for heaven here on earth, right?
Yeah. Well, I think Peter Kreeft has a really great example when he talks about the child in the womb. That is, earthly life is a bit like that. The child in the womb doesn't perceive his or her parents yet. They can hear, but they don't know what they're hearing. You know, they can feel warmth and cold, and they can eat, and they have this kind of reality that is absolutely 100% real and legitimate. But heaven is kind of like mom and dad standing outside the earth's womb saying, we can't wait for you to get here. We can't wait for you to get here. We can't wait to meet you face to face. And I think thinking about it in those terms makes it less of something so esoteric, but it's just like the fullness of time. You know, the theologians tell us that heaven is not the end of time, but the fullness of time. And in the same way, when a child is born, they're entering into a fuller reality, not to say that life in the womb wasn't real, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah, I had never heard that by Kreeft or heard it mentioned before. It makes perfect sense. So, you know, how do we then, I guess in a nutshell here, I mean, it would take probably a long time, and it's probably impossible to exhaust this question, but how do we train ourselves then to, you know, we hear the voices, like you said, outside the womb, and they, you know, we're preparing, we know stuff's going on around there, we have our mother and our father, we don't see them yet, and finally we're there. Okay, we're on that earthly journey now, so how do we take all those things and focus our energy and our you know, efforts, spiritual efforts into truly striving for heaven?
Well, obviously one of the chapters talks about the saints, and I think that many of the saints kind of come and tackle us and choose us and want to teach us about how they did precisely that, how they kept their focus on the reality of eternity, even on this side of the veil. And you know, sort of depending on your life circumstances, there's definitely a saint who can speak to you about that. And also, I think really studying the sacraments and understanding that they are moments when, you know, the veil is ripped into, you know, the Mass is really heaven kind of encompassing, enveloping the world. And I think we do need to study sacramental reality, sacramental theology, in order to impress upon us that that we are created not only for this earth, but for the fullness of time. You know, I think the saints, and I think the church teaching on it is just exquisite.
Yeah, it is. I was going to ask you about the mass, too, at some point during the program, so this is probably a good point to maybe just have you touch upon that a little bit. So many of us, you know, because Jesus, of course, is veiled behind bread and behind wine, and, you know, the great, you know, tantum ergo, you know, what faith supplies for what our feeble senses, you know, aren't able to pick up. Talk about just for a minute the importance of really disposing ourselves well at mass, because that is really, truly as close as we're going to get to heaven on this earth.
Well, just preparing for it, you know, for one thing, instead of like running in at the last minute and trying to jump into it, you know, reading the readings ahead of time, you know, getting there early, getting yourself settled and situated. I mean, if you can, obviously, if you've got a bunch of little tiny kids and things, the experience of the mass is going to be a little bit different. But for those of us who can prepare, we should prepare. But I think the other piece is that as just one easy thing to do, I think, is just to recollect yourself with the creed. We say we believe in all things visible and invisible at every time we pray it. Do we believe it? You know, are we forming our imaginations such that eternity can exist in them, such that the reality of Christ hidden in the Eucharist can be impressed upon our hearts? I think forming the Catholic imagination is extremely important to any kind of conversation or encounter with the reality of heaven.
Well, we have some phone calls coming up here in just a moment. Liz Kelly is our guest, author of numerous books, including her latest. It is called Heaven in You and You in Heaven, Unveiling Eternity on Earth. If you have any questions right now, maybe your, like I said, maybe your kids ask you questions about what heaven's going to be like, and you just go, well, I'm not really sure. I'm not sure Liz can give you a great answer to give them either, but maybe she can give you a few little pointers there, maybe some scripture verses to go to and things like that. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. I am Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett. So, Liz, hang on. We will get to the calls. If you're on the line or hang in there, we will get to you in just a moment here. I want to mention again the free ebook that Catholic Answers is being offered right now. And it's really a perfect time for that, because we are in the season of Lent, and it's a time of purification, also refreshment, and really getting rid of those things that hinder us and growing closer to God. And, of course, the fewer of those things that hinder us that we die with, the quicker that we get into the blessed vision, the eternal presence of God. And so order the free ebook from Catholic Answers. Here's how you do it. Go to Catholic Answers Facebook page, and you can do that right now, because it's up. Many of you are watching perhaps the video stream of the show right now, and maybe you've already downloaded the free ebook. Others who have not, if you can get there right now, fine. It'll be up there when you get home from work or after dinner or what have you. It's called Cleansing Fire, Purgatory in Scripture, History, and the Church. And again, it's another free resource from your friends at Catholic Answers, and it will make a great Lenten companion for what remains of this season of Lent for you. So go to Catholic Answers Facebook page and download your free copy of Cleansing Fire, Purgatory in Scripture, History, and the Church.
Hi, this is Philip Rivers, NFL quarterback, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Francis reminds us that it does not take a specialized degree in theology to become a great evangelist. We're all called to evangelize. Think about the woman at the well. After she encountered Jesus, she immediately went into the city and invited others to meet him as she had. You and I can go out now and do the same. And St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. Get involved today by contacting us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The only thing new about the heresies in the church and the schisms in the church today is it's mixed with satanic worship. We in the church have gone from enneagrams to centering prayer to solstice worship to goddesses. And you buy it as something new.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Cy KSI. We'll be back, I believe, tomorrow. I'm Jerry Usher with the blessing, really the honor and privilege of sitting in behind Cy Kellett's microphone on this program, Catholic Answers Live. Quarter past the hour, and our guest is Liz Kelly talking about heaven right now. We have a phone line that is still available. It's 888-318-7884. Obviously, a topic that cannot be exhausted this side of heaven, but we can certainly dig a little bit more deeply into it. And we want you to call with any questions that you have at 888-318-7884. And we're going to start with Stephen in Houston, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Stephen. Welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. Go right ahead.
Liz may have covered this in her preamble, but I'll ask the question anyway, because most of the teenagers today, or even some of the adults, they want to know what's in it for me now. You know, they don't want to wait till they go to heaven. So they just want to know, you know, how can this religion of yours, this belief, you know, going to Mass or novenas or rosaries, how does it improve my the quality of my life today? I don't know if your book addresses that. It would be nice if it did. They don't want to wait till they go to heaven, but they want to, basically, it's like, you know, can I bring heaven down to earth and make my life and the life of my family, you know, better by following your religion?
Yeah, that's a very common and troubling response. We do seem to have lost touch with the idea that, you know, virtue practiced is a good unto itself. But I think that there are a couple of things I would say. First of all, I think anyone who earnestly tries prayer is going to begin to see its fruits. If they earnestly give it a shot, they're going to begin to see its fruits, and the peace and understanding and other things that come from a life of prayer. If you are modeling a life of prayer for your children, I think that that's tremendously important, because even if right now they're not practicing that, they may remember it when they're older and things get very difficult. It's like, how did mom and dad handle things? Well, they had a very strong faith life. They had a very strong prayer life. And I don't underestimate the power of a praying parent too. Just praying for your children is extremely powerful. But it's a very, very difficult thing. It's like you almost have to market the religion to your kids these days. They want to know exactly, you voiced it very well, what's in it for me? And I do think, again, just this living a holy life of virtue is in and of itself very attractive, and we need to do that, you know. But also I think it's related to the fact that we can't tell what's good anymore. We don't know what's beautiful anymore. We don't know what the truth is anymore. So it's a very difficult battle. It's a very difficult battle. I wish I had a better, easier answer for you. What do you think, sir?
Oh, your answer, living the virtues in itself will get you many, many benefits. So that in itself is a good answer. And trying to understand what is true, the truth, the beauty, and the goodness.
Yeah,
that's another good way to find out how you can get a better life here. And the church teaches the truth, the goodness, and the beauty. So yeah, those are good answers. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think too, it's like, we don't even know the fullness of the impact of the sacraments on our kids, even if they're not particularly well disposed to receiving them. You know, just getting them to Mass, getting them to adoration, getting them into confession. The Holy Spirit can do its work.
Yeah. Thank you, Stephen, for that insightful question. Appreciate that. And for joining us here on Catholic Answers Live. Julie and Nilda and Eddie, hang on. I just wanted to, he mentioned truth, goodness, and beauty, Liz. And I know that you have a whole chapter in your book on beauty. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. I think there's a tremendous amount of beauty confusion. We don't know what beauty is. And I think that this can be very, very problematic in the life of the spirit, because beauty is one of the chief things that teaches us about God. And one of my favorite theologians says that truth, beauty, and goodness come as a package. They're the three sisters. So if you lose truth or goodness, you're going to lose beauty. If you lose beauty or goodness, you're going to lose truth, and so on and so forth. But beauty is essential to the life of the soul. And I think a lot of our children have already been so stripped and so confused about what's good and what's true. I think that beauty kind of remains one way that we can bring them back into that sisterhood of truth, goodness, and beauty, because they're very attracted to screens and looking and watching and helping to form their minds about what is truly beautiful and what the role of beauty is in the life of the soul. Von Balthasar and others were convinced that beauty was going to be the way that we would evangelize the next generation. And I think there's something to that. And I think it's related to Stephen's question.
Yeah, well, it may make sense because, you know, truth is so relative now and so misunderstood, and goodness is often so lacking in the world today that he may be right. Maybe beauty is the way that that's going to be accomplished. Stephen, thank you again for your call. We go to Fort Worth, Texas next. Julie listening to Catholic Answers Live on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Julie.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine. How are you doing?
Good. Well, I'm 6 years old, and I'm single, never been married, never had children. And I just, you know, whatever God wants, you know, that's perfectly fine with me. It seems like I'm never unhappy, but I have a sister with mental illness, and she's 57, and for the past 30 years, she's been in and out of a mental illness, and now it's kind of to a point where she can't really take care of herself. But she has bad behavior, and the nursing home she's at now is going to discharge her because they said they can't help her anymore, so they're sending her home to me. Now, I've been praying about my sister for the past 7 years, a lot, and somehow I feel that God is making this happen and putting her into my care. And I just feel like with heaven on earth, that though she may be like really like a bad person or not, or just difficult, that maybe it's possible that God could bring a breakthrough through me to her. But I was hoping that you could help me have a little bit more faith about this, because it's going to be difficult, I think, and I'm not sure what I'm getting myself into.
Yeah, Liz, what do you think?
I'm sorry, that sounds like a very difficult situation, and it must be kind of scary to think about what might be coming. In the same book that Peter Kreeft writes about, that image that we talked about of the child in the womb is getting ready to step into the reality. In that same book, it's On Heaven, he talks about how fear is always related to the future, about what might happen. And facing such a difficult situation, I think it's I don't really know how to reply to that. I'm not sure what the question was with respect to heaven, except to just say that all of heaven's resources are available to you. That is, the saints and the angels in prayer, intercession, the sacraments, they're deeply interested in what's happening for you and what's happening with your sister. You are not unseen. I would exhort you to know that heaven is more aware of your situation probably than even you are, and we can trust in their intercession. And the fact that you've been praying for 7 years, I mean, that's not going to go unnoticed. That's not just falling on deaf ears. Things may not resolve the way that we want them to, but I'm absolutely certain that heaven is very aware of your situation and is with you in it. You don't have to fight it alone. I don't know if there are other resources like at your church or in your local community that might be able to offer some practical steps in terms of how to prepare for this transition. I'm sure that there are many people who have experienced it, and there are probably people who have a lot of experience that could maybe give you some ideas about how to prepare, what to expect, ways that you can bring other support services into your home so that you're not isolated. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask Julie is that some help? Give you some peace about that, Julie?
It gives me encouragement. Good. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's a tough situation. You can be assured of our prayers, Julie, and we thank you for joining us here on the program. Liz beautifully stated, thank you for your very empathetic comments to Julie there. Nilda in Georgia, you will be our next caller. We have Eddie in Erie, Pennsylvania. Kayla in Omaha dropped off the line, but we still got her question here. And we do have lines open, 888-318-7884. It's the second hour of your Catholic Answers Live broadcast on this Monday. I am Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett, and we're talking this hour about heaven. And our guest is Liz Kelly. She's the author of Heaven in You and You in Heaven, Unveiling Eternity on Earth. How do we prepare? How do we practice? How do we long for heaven? How do we just realize that this earth is, it's okay, a lot of good stuff. Jesus wants us to have the abundant life here, but it's all in preparation and anticipation for being with him when time will not end in eternal glory. Coming right back with more of your questions.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Turns out that today, as back then, this question has a lot of different answers. So many groups want to appropriate Jesus, tweaking his identity until he looks and sounds just like one of them. But then you no longer have the Lord, says apologist Trent Horn. You have an imposter. In his new groundbreaking book, Counterfeit Christ, Trent exposes 18 phony versions of Jesus that we encounter today, helping you to recognize the fakes when you see them, explain why they're phony, and make a case for the full truth and beauty of who Jesus is, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Order your copy of Counterfeit Christ today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Trent Horn. Did you know that you can have me and other Catholic Answers speakers headline your next conference or parish event? Go to CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com to get all the information you need to book one of our dynamic speakers today. That's CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com.
Love and beauty. As a little girl, Dawn Eden Goldstein knew that she wanted those things, that in them somehow she would find God. Over the years as a rock journalist, she moved among some of popular music's best-known artists, straining to capture that transcendent love and beauty in every note and lyric. In Sunday Will Never Be the Same, Dawn recounts her spiritual journey in beautifully wrought detail, mixing powerful accounts of trauma, healing, and epiphany with funny anecdotes from inside the music scene. It is the rare conversion story that delights as it inspires, amuses as it edifies, and ultimately lays before the reader a lived testimony to the transforming grace of Christ. Order your copy of Sunday Will Never Be the Same by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Whom or what are you praying for?
Call in and share with us on tomorrow's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie at noon Eastern.
Now we're going to get back to more Catholic Answers Live. As a matter of fact, that was me. That was my voice when it was not quite as good as it is right now. I've been battling this nasty cold for oh gosh, about a week. And for whatever reason, I wake up in the morning and my show happens to be at 9 a.m. Pacific time, a couple hours after I get up, and my voice is still sounding that way. And now I guess it's sounding a little bit better. So anyway, good thing about that. I thank God for the grace of that and the opportunity to be here for Psychella today. I'm Jerry Usher on Catholic Answers Live. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. Liz Kelly is with us here talking about heaven, the reality of heaven, what it's a little bit about what it's going to be like, how can we can live our lives on this earth. You know, Liz, I have such an aversion to suffering, and I've come to realize that the only way to get to heaven.
Welcome to the human race.
Well, no, I'm an especially horrible sufferer. I'm in the top 10%. And I know that the only way to heaven is through the portal of suffering. And I've come to realize, I ask myself, do I just want to be in heaven, or do I want to actually get to heaven? There's a difference there, isn't there? I mean, we have to get to heaven. It's like taking this road trip. You know, if we set out on a 1,000-mile road trip, you know, you want to be at your family's house for the holidays, but you have to get there. And that requires all the driving and the stopovers and the fuel stops and all this kind of stuff. So we need to be, I just talk about for a minute how we need to be, cognizant of the fact that, yes, we want, heaven's a reality. It's where we want to be. But, you know, we've got to pass through the fires that this earthly life has for us.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I don't think of it so much as, not to think about it like it's work and it's drudgery until we get to heaven, as much as I want to collaborate with God's plan for me here. I want to bring about as much fruit possible as I can here. And is that going to involve some struggle and trial? Well, sure. I mean, that's life. And, but also I think it's a great adventure. You know, think about some fun road trips you've had, you know, when you finally get to your destination. I think about when I moved up to Alaska, I drove up there in my little two-door Toyota through the Alcan when most of it wasn't even paved. I mean, talk about an adventure. It was it was scary and hilarious, and I called my mom crying a few times from the side of the road. But, you know, once I got there and got to my destination and was just driving into the valley in the mountains there, it was so spectacular, and it was so worth it. You know, I think part of our problem is that we don't expect life to be hard, or as hard as it is. And it's made harder by the fact that we reject that rather than saying, okay, this is my portion and I want to collaborate with the grace of God to, you know, make lemonade out of lemons. So, yeah, I mean, I think of it, you know, I just think about some of the really hard trips that I've ever taken, like moving to Alaska, and how fun it was when you finally got there. Nothing worth having it comes without sacrifice. You know, I don't want a heaven that I don't have to sacrifice for. How boring is that going to be?
Right.
You know, I want the pearl of great price. And so that's going to take some effort on my part, but it's going to be a great and grand adventure.
Yeah. Well, we got some more questions for you here, too, on the topic of heaven. Again, thanks for your patience. Nilda in Georgia, listening to Catholic Answers Live this afternoon. Hi, Nilda. You are on with Liz Kelly about heaven. Hi, Nilda.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I don't know if you will be able to understand me, but basically my question was a few advices about how to keep on going with the excitement to get there, even if you constantly are so discouraged to the point that sadness is like constantly surrounding you, bombarding you with news, with situation change of values among so many groups, social groups here and there, and cultural in different countries, the persecution, so many things that I think are related to my aging kind of time, where I get everything so seriously. I have my own daily doses of difficulties. I have a child mm-hmm. with disability, so many other things. Mm-hmm. Mothers mm-hmm. going through a process of Alzheimer's in a home, being mm-hmm. isolated, having three sisters close by my mother and wishing to be there, wishing to bring her here, and dealing with mm-hmm. my own needs that are really highly demanding, and mm-hmm. husband and child and so many other things surrounding. But this mm-hmm. courage, how to keep of having a happy attitude among all these negative things that surrounding you daily.
You don't have to be happy about anything that's discouraging. That's not required. But you do have to remember who God is. When you begin to remember who God is and what he has done, and believe me, this is the most human thing in the world. Talk about the Israelites running around. They had to remind themselves continually how many times God had saved them. They were very forgetful. And I think we can be forgetful, and that the devil loves to use forgetfulness. He likes to pile it on. You got this problem and that problem, and God's not touching this, and God's not helping you with that, and blah, 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 blah. This is incurable, and that's unfixable. But when you go into the scriptures, especially with the Psalms that often begin in lamentation, like, don't you see me down here and how much I'm suffering? Almost all of those Psalms then remember who God is and remember his power, and they end up rejoicing. It's always a matter of bringing us back into the reality of who God is. One of the practical things that I do every single day, and it sounds so simple, it sounds silly, but then I saw a study, like the National Institute of Health did a study on this exact practice and found how good it was for your mental health. Every day I make a gratitude list, things that I'm grateful for. It can be big, it can be small. The color purple, the fact that my house is warm, that spring is coming, that the birds are tweeting, that I had a good lunch, that I have a safe home. I mean, it doesn't matter. Big things, small things. Once you start making a gratitude list, that like chemically changes what's going on in your mind and in your spirit. And you can make the same kind of attribute list for God. He is holy. He is mighty. He never fails. He never lies to me. You know, remind yourself who God is and why you worship him. And I'm not saying that like to kick anybody else around. I have to do that for myself. The last few months, I have been exceptionally busy in women's ministry. I've spoken like 18 times in the last 30 days. I've been giving retreats and all sorts of stuff. My accounts got hacked to the tune of $100,000. Like, my car broke down. I was having a serious health issue. I mean, just my husband got attacked by a dog. Like, I'm not kidding. Just crazy, crazy attack. And when that hits, I have to remind myself who is more powerful. And it's my Creator, who knows every hair on my head. And I have to go back to all the times that he has rescued me and remind myself who he is and that he loves me. And sure enough, everything gets ticked off the list. You know, my health thing resolves and they were able to recover most of the funds that were stolen. And, you know, my husband, the dog that bit him, didn't have rabies. Thank you, God. And, you know, but I get it. I get it. The world is really, really tough. And the other practical thing I would recommend too is get a prayer buddy, somebody that you can talk to once a week or even every day and just say, how can I pray for you? Soon as you start taking the prayers and petitions of other people and then giving them yours, that's very powerful. And the devil doesn't like that. He hates that when we get together and we pray together. He hates it. So if you want to send him to fleeing, get yourself a prayer buddy and promise to pray for each other, and then do that. Even if it's in a very, very simple way, pray for one another. And I'll pray for you. I know it's hard, and it sounds like you've got a lot going on, but
is that helpful to you, Nilda?
Who God is.
Yeah.
Yes, I have been with a group on Tuesdays for prayer meeting, and then on Thursday with Bible studies. Very
good girl.
Very supportive. But I think it gets to the point that I need the daily support, like the whole village.
Yes. That is absolutely totally appropriate given your situation, and it sounds like the number of stressors that you have are unusually high, you know. So if there's a way that you can find a support network that you can meet with every day, go for it. And until that appears, you go to the church, you light a candle before the Blessed Mother, and she will be your support group. She has very powerful.
Nilda, thank you for your call. And your call, Nilda, is like it represents you. You represent millions of people, Nilda, and not to make light of what you're going through, but everybody's going through so much right now. And we're going to pray for you, Nilda. Be assured of our prayers and follow those steps that Liz was talking about. Get a gratitude list every day. Get that prayer buddy. Surround yourself. It sounds like you're surrounded by a good support group of faithful people. So you will definitely have our prayers. And by the way, Liz, I just happened to notice, I got an email today from a friend who said, hey, welcome to National Stress Awareness Month. And I didn't even know that. It starts today. So yeah, I don't think it was an April Fool's joke either. But boy, plenty of stress out there in the world. So Eddie and Tom, hang on just a minute. Got to do a quick little housekeeping thing on Catholic Answers Live. Liz, please appreciate your patience just for a moment. And we'll get to some more questions about heaven. And wanted to mention, too, Catholic Answers is really one of the most reliable, I think, trusted sources of good materials, books, CDs, DVDs, Catholic Answers magazine, pamphlets, stuff to help you know your faith, help you defend the faith, help you share the faith. And the store-wide sale for spring is going on right now. The annual spring store-wide sale is underway. Resources you will find by Don Eden, Jimmy Akin, Trent Horn, all of the Catholic Answers staff, Tim Staples, of course. Enter promo code SPRING19 at checkout to save 15% off store-wide. And you've got some time to do that. I'm not sure when the sale ends, but why not do that right now? In fact, if you have friends coming into the church at Easter, it'd be a great way to provide them with faithful gifts. Get the gifts from Catholic Answers that you want to give to the people you know coming into the church, or just to bolster your own faith life. So go to Catholic.com at the shop, enter promo code SPRING19, and you will save 15% store-wide right now during the Catholic Answers annual spring sale.
Join us on air today on Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
You know what Catholic Radio is? It's training for the troops. It's a interaural of the ear boot camp. The folks who listen, who grow in their faith, grow in charity, grow in all the virtues, they then go out and exert an influence far beyond just themselves. Catholic Radio has an exponential effect for bringing people deeper into the faith.
Dr. Ray Guarendi thinks Catholic Radio is important. So should you.
More of your phone calls, which always drive the program here on Catholic Answers Live at 888-318-7884. Liz Kelly, we are talking with her today about her book, Heaven in You and You in Heaven, Unveiling Eternity on Earth. Liz is a professor of Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas, and her website is lizk.org. Going back to your calls, and as promised, Eddie is in Erie, Pennsylvania, listening to us on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Eddie. Glad to have you.
Hi, Julian. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks be to God. How about you?
Oh, yeah. Sorry about your cold. I had one about 3 weeks ago. Those are pretty barbaric, yeah.
Thank you. I'll appreciate a prayer if you don't mind. and a can of Lysol before Cy gets back to this microphone.
maybe an antibiotic. You know?
Yeah, right. So how can Liz help
you? Anyway, Jerry, yeah, I took out amoxicillin. I had to wait 2 hours to get it, but it did it.
Good,
hey,
good.
That's what you need. virtue, purity, you know, right lifestyle, positive attitude, prayer, unceasing, eradication of habits, whatever they are. That will all lead to a pure life on this planet and bring us closer to heaven, correct? Liz?
Yeah, so he's saying basically living a life of virtue and prayer and purification and penance and doing all the spiritual practices will help to prepare us for heaven. Is that kind of what you're getting at, Eddie?
Yeah, because we're trying to bring it here, but, you know, you said there's a veil, so none of us.
So is it possible to attain perfection in this life, is in a nutshell? Liz, what do you think?
I think moment by moment, I think of the moment when my nephew had his first reconciliation, and he came out, he was 8 years old, and sat down next to me on the pew, and he said, "Whew, a clean soul." And, you know, I think that there was probably a moment of perfection right there that made heaven very, very happy. I think that we can offer really holy and pure moments. We can't always sustain that. But again, I don't know that God is really expecting perfection on this side of heaven. That's part of why we have purgatory. You don't want to get into scrupulosity, but at the same time, don't underestimate the moments that you are thankful, the moment that you are right with your friends and your relatives, the moments that you do receive the Eucharist as worthily as you know how. Those are all really important, and they're all seen and received by heaven. So I think heaven is happy to receive our little moments of perfection, even though we can't sustain them bit by bit. That all adds up.
Okay, Eddie, is that what you were trying to get at there?
Yes. Well, it wasn't Christ. He was perfect, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
He was the perfect human person. Yes, he was.
The God-man, yes, we know that he was sinless and could not have sinned either. So, Eddie, thank you very much for your call to the program. Thanks for your concern for my cold, too, and I'm glad you're over yours. 888-318-7884. Tom is next in Columbus listening on St. Gabriel Radio to Catholic Answers Live. Hello, Tom. You are on with Liz Kelly.
Hello. Liz Kelly, can you give as brief as you can what you mean by heaven?
Heaven is what we anticipate after we die, that we will be spending eternity with God, knowing Him and loving Him in a way that's not possible here. So some of the obstacles of this earth will no longer be obstacles, and we will know God as He really is. Many of the saints speak of the beatific vision, that is heaven, and being able to see God is going to create such awe and joy in us that all we're going to do, all we're going to want to do is to praise God. There are other theologians that argue that heaven is perfect joy. So it kind of depends on who you ask. The most important thing is that we will understand and have a relationship with God that is a full and complete one, where and now we have some limitations because of our humanity. Does that help, or you still have questions?
So is it more of a state than a place?
Hmm. I don't know that I could answer that question. I think that God, it's more than just a place. It's a way of being and existing. Like, we enter into God's beingness, and he's not just in one place. He's every place. And he exists outside of time. So we speak of it in human language, like it's a destination. We're on a journey and we're going to get there, you know, as though it were a location on a map. But it's not a location on a map. Peter Kreeft has a really good way of describing it. Obviously I love his book on heaven, and he talks about thinking about the tip of the point of a pencil. And that, if you turn the pencil sideways and you can see it from eraser to the tip of the pencil, like I exist, you know, halfway down the pencil, that's where I exist in time. But if I turn the pencil and I face it toward me so that I'm seeing just the point of the pencil, he says that's how God sees time. Like, he sees all of it, forward, backward, into the future, into the past. He contains all of it. So entering heaven is going to be stepping out of a linear time and entering into a beingness. I don't know if that helps. I'm sort of mixing my philosophy and theology.
Well, you're doing a great job of a very difficult a very difficult question. Tom, is that any clearer for you?
Yes. Insightful. Thank you very much.
Okay. This really is a difficult question. Thank God for brains like yours, Liz, and brains like Peter Kreeft as well, because and, oh, you know, some luminaries like Thomas Aquinas and people like that.
yeah,
well, we got about 3 minutes left here. How would you kind of bring this to a close for our people? Just to, you know, it's a big, big subject, one that we can't fully plumb in this life. For those who want to, though, try to understand it better. Obviously, starting with your book, I'm sure, and probably just praying, you know, God, help me to have a better sense of what eternity is, who you are, and who I'm made to be in relationship with you.
Yeah, I think it can be really helpful, especially in prayer, just to look at the portions of the creed that do talk about heaven. We believe in the communion of saints. We believe in the resurrection of the body, and so on and so forth. And maybe just spend time praying with each of those little clauses. You know, maybe say, I'm going to spend a month thinking about the communion of saints, or I'm going to spend a month reading about the resurrection of the body and what that means. There are ways that we can kind of parse down the question so that it's more manageable, and that we can savor little bits and pieces of it rather than trying to take on the entire piece all at once. And I think once we do that, too, it's like one crumb leads to the next crumb. It's like God wants to be understood. He wants us to know him. He wants us to enter into relationship with him. So it's not even you're on this. You have to take on this task by yourself. That is, God wants you to know him. So any effort you put forward, he is going to grace that. And the last thing I'd say is, don't be afraid of the questions. Don't be afraid if you have doubts. That's spectacularly okay. And you can just look to the Psalms and know that that's true. The Psalms are filled with lamentation, followed by thanksgiving, followed by fear mongering, followed by, you know, I mean, it's okay to have questions about them. And I would say that that's a sign that you're probably intellectually well-ordered if you do have questions. So.
Yeah, and better to question things and seek answers than to just kind of discard it and toss it aside and not give it any thought. And pretty soon you're an agnostic or an atheist. So,
right.
Well, Liz, in our closing, I want to people can get your book, Heaven in You and You in Heaven, Unveiling Eternity on Earth, probably through hopefully Catholic bookstores, but also all the usual major book providers, I presume.
On my website at lizk.org, and I think it's on Amazon and places like that too, but I think they're charging a crazy amount for it.
Oh, really? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, well, it's probably because it was out of print for a while.
All right.
But anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so, I encourage, we'll drive people to Liz K, L-I-Z, LizK.org, and that is her website. And I surely don't want to pile on to all the work that you have going on. You mentioned how busy you've been, but you it sounds like you are available. Are you as a speaker, retreat master, these kinds of things, or are you?
Yes.
Want to mention that. I don't want to mention it unless you want me to.
No, Lent for anybody in ministry is like tax season for an accountant. You right. just go, 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 go. Lent and Advent are very busy seasons, but no. Oh, yeah, I love to lead retreats and speak for conferences and things like that. So thank you. Yeah, I'd be happy to hear from anybody.
Yeah, and details of that on your website as well, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The website is lizk.org. Liz, we have never met before this. We don't know each other face to face, but I hope that we both do enough to meet and spend eternity together in heaven.
Thank you. Me too.
God bless you, Liz. And that goes for all of you, our listeners as well. Thank you so much for your listenership. I am Jerry Usher. I've been in for Cy Kellett today. My understanding is that Cy will be back with you tomorrow. My little April Fool's joke at the start of the first hour that Cy was hired away from Catholic Answers by the San Diego Padres to do play-by-play. All it was an April Fool's joke, as far as I know. I mean, if they showed him the money, though, you never know. Cy is that kind of guy. And he could get like $5.2 million from the Padres to do that. So at any rate, I hope that you will make time to join me and Debbie Giorgiani on our show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, on many or most of these EWTN affiliates. That is Monday through Friday at noon Eastern with a replay at midnight Eastern. Tomorrow, once a month, we do a prayer show. Whom or what are you praying for? Get your prayer intentions ready and call. Debbie will be traveling tomorrow, so it's just going to be me and you praying for whatever's on your heart tomorrow. Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. On behalf of the staff and the entire crew here at Catholic Answers, God bless.